guess when I did plug in, or I plugged it in the wrong spot. I'm gonna try to get it again, you know, so. It's good to see everybody out, hope that all are doing well. Just sang the song, God is so good. Even with technical difficulties, God is still good. Asked Charlie to lead that, that is the title of this lesson, this movie, this God is good. We're gonna go through, and as each verse there, we are points for the lesson this morning. God is good, Jesus is real, he saved my soul, I praise his name. A lot of good things to be brought out for this thing, that short song. Take time to think about how God is good, how he is so wonderful, and all that he's done for us. We want to turn back to the scripture reading that Charlie had read for us this morning, Psalm 145, verse 5. Psalm 145, number 5, verses 8 and 9. Again, it reads, it says, the Lord is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and great in loving kindness. The Lord is good to all, and his mercies are over all his works. Again, here it brings out a point that God is good to all. To every one of us, God is good. And another psalm, Psalm 100 and verse 5. Psalm 100 and looking there and in verse 5. As it reads here, it says, for the Lord is good, his loving kindness is everlasting, and his faithfulness to all generations. Take time to think about it. God, again, is good to everybody. Because when we take time to think about the creation of all things, God is our creator. God is the one that had went forth and made each and every one of us. You start there in Genesis chapter 1 and read about the days of creation, how he went forth and created all things in this earth and then created mankind. And we know that as we go to 2 Peter, it tells us about his long suffering, his patience with you and me. Allowing us this day, which we have today, to live our lives upon this earth. And then we're supposed to consider his long suffering, his patience, to be part of our salvation. Again, God is being good. He is being kind. He is being patient and long suffering with each and every person that is alive today. Allowing us another day in which we can examine our lives, allowing us another day to ask that question, what must I do in order to be saved? Asking, have I fallen short, and do I need to repent of anything? Do I need to make my life right with God? In Mark chapter 10, if you will. Mark chapter 10. And in verse 18. Mark chapter 10 and verse 18. Here it reads, it says, and Jesus said to him, why do you call me good? No one is good except God alone. And we take time to sit here and think about those who we would say are good. Again, I hope that we could go around this building, go around the auditorium right now and point out good people, right? Hopefully we'll point out that everybody. That's a good person. That's a good person. We'll go down that list of those who are good and why they are good, because they would help you in any situation, because they will go forth and assist you when you are on the side of the road. Because if you call upon them, then they're going to come and be there for you. And so, God is good. God is there for us. God is always there to help and do these good things for you and me. Right? Right? Mankind are good, is good to do these things for you and me. And yet, God is great. God is the one who defines what is good. And that is the good in which we are striving to be. Because when we talk about loving your enemies in Matthew chapter 5, if you will. Matthew chapter 5. And in verse 43, it says, "You have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, so that you may be sons of your Father who is in heaven. For he causes the sun to rise on the evil and the good, and he sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. For if you love those who love you, what reward do you have? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? If you greet only your brothers, what more are you doing than others? Do not even the Gentiles do the same? Therefore, you are to be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect." So we strive to be like God. Not to look at the rest of the world and let them define what is good. Because again, the world will say, "Well, do good unto those who do good to you." Right? Those who help you, you help. And those who would, you know, give to you, those are to whom you give to. Those who are forgiving, you forgive. But the Word of God, God is greater than that, because God calls us to something higher, that golden rule, to do unto others as we want them to do unto us, because that's what God has done. God has forgiven all when He's never needed to be forgiven. God has shown mercy when He's never needed mercy. God has shown love when others have shown Him hate. God is always there, and He is good. And His blessings come to each and every one of us. And there's so many blessings there. Again, in James chapter 1, in verse 17. James chapter 1, verse 17. As it reads here, it says, "Every good thing given and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shifting shadow." Every good gift cometh from above, cometh from God. Every good thing. God is, again, as the song says, God is so good that we don't ever measure up to His goodness. And yet, that is what we're supposed to be striving for. And the question we have to ask is, do we truly believe that God is good, that God is kind, that He is loving, that He is our Creator, that He is being patient with us, that He did send His Son down to die for us, sending us the greatest gift of all. And then He continues to bless us with the sun and the moon and with life and with food and with clothing, with the people that are in our lives that we rely on each and every day. Again, who has taken the time to truly count their blessings? Taking the time to figure out just how great and awesome and wonderful our God is. But as the next part of the song goes forth and says, Jesus is real, right? Do you truly believe that? That's the question you have to ask. Do you truly believe that Jesus is real? That He is real to you? That He is real to me. In John chapter 8, verse 24, John chapter 8, and in verse 24, it reads here, it says, "Therefore I said to you that you will die in your sins, for unless you believe that I am He, you will die in your sins." We have to believe in our Savior. We have to believe in Christ. Otherwise, we will die in our sins. And if we die in our sins, then we face the consequence of that sin, right? Of our sins. The wages of sin is death. From the beginning of time, that God put Adam in the garden and tell him, "If you eat of that tree, you shall surely die." It's always been the consequence. It's always been the punishment for all sin. All transgressions, lawlessness. That if we sin, we will die. And if we do not believe in Christ, we don't believe in His sacrifice, then we will die in that sin. In John chapter 20 and verse 31, John chapter 20 And looking there in verse 31, it says, "But these have been written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in His name." John goes forth and says, there are many other signs, verse 30, many other signs which the Lord had performed, done in the presence of His disciples. But what He has revealed, what He has written down is there. Why? Why did He write these things down? Did He just, He had to write this down to get it off His mind? He had to write this down just to share with one person? But He writes these things down so that we may believe. That's why we have the Word of God. That's why God blessed us with these things, so that we can know that He is real. That we can know who He is. That we may believe in Him. Believe in our Lord and Savior. Believe in these miracles. Again, in John chapter 10, Jesus refers to it also in pointing out that they needed to believe in the signs of what the Father had done through Him. John chapter 10 and in verses 37 and 38, it says, "If you do not do the works, if I do not do the works of my Father, do not believe. But if I do, though you do not believe me, believe the works so that you may know and understand that the Father is in me and I am the Father." And so again, many come questioning our Lord. Many come questioning Him even as He lived His life here on earth. And say, "You may not believe in me, but look at the works that are being done. If you believe in the works that the Father has done here today, then believe that the Father is in Christ." Again, we're blessed so much more today to have the Scriptures. Because it reveals all things to us. It reveals all that we need, right? 2 Timothy 3 and verses 16 and 17, that all Scripture is given by the inspiration of God is profitable. Doctrine, proof, correction for instruction in righteousness. That the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. That He has given us everything we need that pertains to life and to godliness. And with that comes that we have to have faith. Hebrews 11 and verse 6 tells us that without faith, it is impossible to please Him. That one has to believe. If you do not believe that He is, and when He says that, if you do not believe that I am He, He's going back to when Moses was talking to God in the burning bush. Who do I say has sent me? How am I going to persuade the elders? How am I going to persuade the rest of the children of Israel to get up and follow me? Who do I say is sent? He says, "I am that I am. I am." Here Jesus saying, "I am. I am He, the God of Abraham, the God of Moses, the God of Isaac and Jacob." And we have to believe. We just sang that song, and again, do we truly believe in the words that we are saying, that are coming out of our mouth? He is so real to me. It has to be you. It has to be that individual faith that you have. It cannot just be the faith of your parents. It can't be the faith of those who just bring you along. Can't be the faith of your spouse. It can't be anyone else's faith. It has to be yours. You have to believe yourself. In Romans 10 and verse 9, I know this is a verse I often use for confession, but within that confession, it brings out the point of what we are believing also, right? Romans 10 and in verse 9, it says that if you confess with your mouth Jesus as Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. Again, it's not just believing that Jesus was a good person, that Jesus was a good teacher, that Jesus was a prophet, but that Jesus resurrected from the dead. We believe that He died, and that God raised Him from the dead. We believe that He ascended into the air. We believe that he will return one day. God is good. Why? Because, again, he is God. But he proved his goodness, his love, his kindness. He showed it to us when he sent his son down to die for us. Now the question is, do you believe in his son? Do you believe in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ? He has given his life. And if you believe that he has, then the question comes out, has he saved your soul? He has died for your soul. He has died for you, but has he saved you? Right? Again, we quote John 3, verse 16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believed in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Yes, Jesus died for you, but have you reached out to him so that he can save you? Look with me there in Matthew chapter 14 and verse 30. Matthew 14 and verse 30. Here, as Peter was walking on the water and saw the winds and the waves going about, and he lost his mindset of focusing on Christ and the miracle at hand, he began to sink. And as he began to sink, he cried out to the Lord, "Lord, save me." Matthew 14, verse 30. And seeing the wind, he became frightened and began to sink. He cried out, "Lord, save me." And immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and took hold of him and said to him, "You of little faith, why did you doubt?" I mean, that's Jesus saving somebody. Literally, right? He had to reach out and grab Peter and pull him up. He was sinking. He was going to drown. He was going to die. Are we sinking in sin? Are we caught up in drowning in our own anxiety, in our own sorrows, in our transgressions, that we need to turn to the Lord in order to be saved? He's already done. God has done his part as far as he can till you are willing to come to him. Right? God has created us. God went forth and set a plan together on how to save us. From the beginning of time, that he, before time, and made it go through Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, all the way through David, all to the point that he was born, living that perfect life, dying for us, resurrecting, ascending to heaven, making sure we have the Word of God. God has done his part. God is good. He's blessed us with the Word of God, blessed us with his Son, blessed us with the way to salvation. Have you turned to him so that he can save your soul? In Hebrews 11, again, verse 6, as I referred to earlier, without faith, if you do not believe in Jesus, you do not believe that he is, you do not believe that he died and resurrected, you do not believe that he will return, then the answer is no. The answer is no. You have not been saved. You are not saved at this time and moment if you do not have faith. But again, faith alone is not enough. If we turn to James 2 and see that faith without works is dead, that one has to be willing to go to the Lord. In Luke 13 and in verse 3, as it's kind of focused in on the Jews and the mindset of the Gentiles, and you know, those who need to repent, those who are in sin, and if they don't turn, then they're all going to perish. But then he brings up this point, but you know, are we any better? Are we going to be saved if we don't make our lives right? Read with me, Luke 13. And look there in verse 3. As it reads, it says, "I tell you no, but unless you repent, you will all likewise perish." Right? Go back up to verse 2. Do you suppose that these Galileans were greater sinners than all of the Galileans because they suffered this fate? Now he says, well, do you think they're worse off because of what they're going through? Each and every person is called to repentance. If you believe that Jesus is real, you believe in your God, and you believe in the scriptures, then you have to be willing to turn away from sin. You have to be willing to change your mindset to the will of God. We read Romans 10, 9 earlier about our confession, but you can go with me to Matthew 10 and verse 33. Matthew 10 and verse 33, another verse on confessing our Lord and Savior. If you're not willing to do this, if you have not done this, then again, are you saved? It says, but whoever denies me before men, I will also deny him before my Father who is in heaven. Right? And so you go back up to verse 32, what do we need to do? It says, therefore, everyone who confessed me before men, I will also confess him before my Father who is in heaven. We have to be willing to confess our faith. We have to be willing to admit that we believe that Jesus is the Son of God, that we believe that he is the Savior, that he is the Christ. We believe that he did resurrect. We have to have faith. We have to be willing to stand up for that faith and act upon that faith. In Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 9. Hebrews chapter 5, I'm looking there in verse 9. It reads here and says, and having been made perfect, he became to all those who obey him the source of eternal salvation. Right, to all who obey him. It doesn't say he is the author of salvation to everybody, no matter what. To everybody who only believes. But to all who obey. So that includes our baptism, our washing away our sins. That we see Mark 16:16, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, and he that believes not shall be condemned. Right? If we do not believe and obey the gospel and are baptized into Christ, then we are not saved. Right? We don't do as the Lord has commanded. We don't act upon the commands in which God has given to us. We are not saved. Again, turn along with me to Romans 6. I know we've looked at this verse often, or we look at this verse often, I believe, but it explains clearly what happens when one is baptized. Right? And the question is if you haven't been baptized for this reason, right? Not that when one is an infant and baptized, and then you know they can't confess their faith, right? They can't have a faith of their own because they don't know anything. They can't speak. So when one obeys the gospel, this has to be the mindset of when you're obeying. And so Romans 6, verse 1. What shall we say? Are we to continue in sin so that grace may increase? May it never be. How shall we who died to sin still live in it? So when did we die to sin? Is the question we have to ask ourselves. When did someone die to sin? Have you died to sin? In verse 3 says, or do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus have been baptized into his death? When do we meet the death of Christ? When one is baptized into Christ. Right? One is baptized into the death of Christ and therefore puts to death the man of sin. And verse 4 says, therefore, we have been buried with him through baptism into death, so that as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in newness of life. Right? When we are baptized, when we are buried with Christ. And when we are raised up, we are resurrected with Christ in the newness of life. Verse 5, for if we have become united with him in the likeness of his death, certainly we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old self was crucified. crucified with him in order that our body of sin might be done away with, so that we no longer be slaves of sin. For he who has died is free from sin. The verses are just going forth and trying to make it as clear as can be. You know, sometimes we ask that question. I wish God was clearer on these things so that there wouldn't be more questions about it. I think God was very clear when he spoke on baptism. He's very clear on what saves us as we look at the scriptures. Now we could go to 1 Peter 3, verse 21. Baptism does now save. Again, we go back to Mark 16, 16. You know, Josiah's doing algebra, Kenner's in pre-algebra, and so the math is not the simplest thing for me to look at. Sometimes I have to take my time, figure it out. Other times I got to get on the internet. Other times I got to ask others for help. But simple math, 1 plus 1 equals 2. Elementary teaching, right? Something first taught to the kids. When it says, he that believes plus and is baptized shall be saved. That's the simple math, right? That's the simple elementary teaching of 1 plus 1 equals 2. Belief plus baptism equals salvation. In Acts 2, verse 38, believe and repent for what? For forgiveness of sins. Again, they have to go hand in hand together. And so, has he saved your soul? Have you acted upon these things? And if you've done those things, do you continue to praise his name? Do you continue to worship your God? Turn along with me back to Psalm. Psalm 103. Psalm 103. And in verses 1 and 2. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget none of his benefits. Bless him, right? Praise him. Praise the Lord. Bless the Lord. Glorify the Lord. Again in Psalm 95, verses 1 and 2. Psalm 95, verses 1 and 2. Oh, come, let us sing for joy to the Lord. Let us shout joyfully to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving. Let us shout joyfully to him with songs. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Glorify him. Let us sing out. Let us shout out. Let us give him thanks. Let us praise God. Because he is great. He is awesome. He is good. Because Jesus did come down here. He is real. He did die for us. He is how I am saved. He is how you are saved. Let us praise his name. And everything we do, Colossians tells us to do it wholeheartedly as unto the Lord. In Matthew 5, it tells us to go forth and shine your light to the world, to be the soul of the earth. Let your light so shine that men may see your good works and what? And glorify your Father. And everything we do, let it be to his praise, to glorify our God. We don't ever want to leave without extending the Lord's invitation, which is always open. Always open. Not just right now as we're about to extend the invitation, but maybe it'll hit you on your way home. Maybe it'll hit you later on in the week. Maybe something will come to you. You'll study on your own. You'll pray on your own. And you decide that you need to give your life to God. Any time is an acceptable time to come to God and be baptized. But why we want to extend it now is because we're not promised later. We're not promised another hour. We're not promised another day. So if you're here today and you believe, we want to encourage you to take the other steps today also. To confess your faith, to repent of your sins, to be baptized and wash your sins. And if you're here and you've done those things and we can assist you to continue to fight the good fight, any prayers for the brethren or just to study and talk, please let us know what we can do as we stand and sing.